Moderation is a term we hear used a lot in discussions about politics, religion and society. Calls for moderate drinking, moderate religious beliefs and the moderate majority. But what does the term really mean and what is its relevance in modern culture? We asked Dr. Alex Smith, sociologist at the University of Warwick, who's just co-edited a new book called Sociologies of Moderation. So Alex, what is this book about?
Well, this book really came out of an idea that I had quite a few years ago. A few years after 9/11 and the war on terror began, and you know, the Iraq war was going on, Afghanistan, the war in Afghanistan was going on. And it occurred to me that we're living through times when people are very interested in the problem of extremism, and it's very easy to get people interested in why extremism and militancy is a problem. But it often seems that by default, we think we know what the absence of extremism is, or what moderation, which is usually taken as the opposite of extremism, what that looks like by the very absence of extremism or militancy. And it seemed to me that that was probably a rather misplaced assumption to make about what moderation is, because, of course, there's a very long history of philosophical debate, and there are very long cultural and political traditions in this country and many other places, which were very much concerned with what moderation is and how you promote it and how you promote it as a virtue in society. And it seemed to me that the social sciences in particular perhaps was making a mistake by not shining a light on what moderation looks like, because perhaps extremism cannot be properly apprehended unless we've got a very strong idea of what moderation looks like. So that's where the idea for the book came from. And then we were successful in winning some funding from the ESRC to run a seminar series, which we called Rhetorics of Moderation, brought people together from all sorts of different disciplines. And the book is an edited volume of the 10 or 11 papers that were presented as part of the seminar series. But the book is very much designed not to be the last word on moderation. The book is very much designed to promote debate in sociology and the social sciences more generally about what moderation is, what its value is, what it looks like, you know, what sort of social and cultural and political conditions best promote a moderate kind of society or a society capable of moderating extremes.
And why do you think now is the right time for this kind of book?
One of the compelling reasons for the book and why the time is ripe for a reappraisal of moderation is because, particularly in the United States, there's a sense that over the last few years, democracy has somewhat been adrift and that politics is becoming increasingly polarized and inequalities are becoming increasingly the subject of polarization as well in the United Kingdom and the United States and elsewhere. And then I think in the context of the international debates around the war on terrorism and how to achieve a lasting peace in the Middle East and destabilization of the wider region around Afghanistan and Pakistan and the like, these issues are being debated in other societies around the world already. So I do think the time is right, because I think increasingly people are frustrated with the more clichéd ways in which the war on terror has been talked about and promoted over the last decade, and I think people are looking for something different and something new.
And the term moderation, we do hear it a lot. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about how the term moderation is used, particularly in the media, and how that compares to what you consider the term to mean.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think one of the really interesting things, just to give one example about how moderation is used as a term, but also how its usage and the value placed upon it has transformed, is that if you think back to the US presidential primary elections for the Republican Party back in 2012, there wasn't a single candidate in that primary election who came out and called themselves a moderate. They all came out and said, I'm a true conservative, I am the real conservative in this fight. And if anything, there was a great sort of battle amongst the candidates to appear more right-wing than each other. And of course, what would often happen is that candidates would turn around and call each other a moderate, say, oh, you know, such and such says that they're a conservative, but really they're the moderate here, so don't trust what they have to say. Now, that's very different from the vision of American democracy that the founding fathers of the United States had in mind, where moderation was considered a virtue in civic life and was very much written into the very fabric of a constitution designed to have checks and balances on power. And of course, this was very much an issue that interested the early American revolutionaries, because across the North Atlantic in France, you had an example of a revolution which did descend into violence and repression, and they were very keen to avoid that future, which they saw as a potential kind of dystopian future for their own revolution if things weren't moderated, right? So I think there you have a very interesting example of how moderation as a set of virtues and actually as a positive idea has been turned into something very negative in the context of contemporary American politics, primarily on the Republican side of politics, and I would hasten to add. So I think we do hear moderation talked about in the UK, but I don't think it's particularly well understood. We hear it talked about in positive ways in relation to, say, health and alcohol consumption and things like that. But that's one of the few domains of public life where we hear moderation promoted in a positive fashion. Often, it's quite rare now, I think, to hear, in an age where politics is defined by the desire to have convictions, right, it's quite rare to hear politicians and other leaders place a positive value on, you know, you don't hear people stand up and say, well, while I might think that, I'm a moderate, so therefore I think we should listen to everybody's points of views and come to a compromise or whatever. But of course, what a lot of these kind of misrepresentations of moderation potentially contribute to is a collective amnesia about what moderation was as a political tradition. Moderation, by its very name, is potentially subversive in character, unsettling. And if you go back to the English Civil War, for example, the Levellers, you know, one of the most radical political traditions that sprung out of the rebellion by Parliament, etc., against the King, their newspaper was called The Moderate. Now, moderate, and you know, I don't think many of us would think of the Levellers today as particularly moderate, given their desire to abolish the aristocracy in its entirety at the time and reform land tenure in the UK. But I think that gives you a clue as to an alternative history of the term, which has its roots in a much more radical and dissenting tradition, a tradition of skepticism and a tradition of challenging power and holding power to account, which I think has been largely forgotten but is there to be reapprehended.
And what about in the media when the term is used to calls for religious groups to be moderate?
That's a very big topic. I mean, I think in relation to Muslim politics in particular, I think that there is a misunderstanding again around moderation. I mean, moderation as promoted in terms of one of the virtues that Aristotle wrote about, moderation was understood as a discipline, but primarily a self-discipline. So any call to another religious group, which any majority might think is immoderate in its political views, which doesn't start from a position of the self, it doesn't start from what would we as a majority do or believe or embrace as a set of practices or disciplines of moderation. Any demand of another religious group to moderate that starts without that reflexive position, in my view, is not a moderate argument. So for me, moderation at its best is understood as a disciplined engagement with divided publics and employing values around tolerance, promoting civility in public discourse, promoting dialogue between faiths, promoting a sense of community, which is inclusive of sometimes very differing points of view about faith and other issues that tend to become points of difference. That, to me, is potentially, at its best, a pretty radical program, but it's fundamentally a discipline, and it starts as a self-discipline. Now, there are examples of religious groups that have been committed to interfaith dialogue and remain so. I mean, the Anglican Church and the other mainstream churches in the United Kingdom all participate in various interfaith forums. But it says something about the marginalization of religion in public life in the United Kingdom as well, in terms of being considered a legitimate source of ideas and principles and ideals and values for informing public debate, that the ways in which religion get thought about in or discussed in media terms tend to be in rather extreme ways.